Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line on Monday's show is African athletics. Kenya's Paris Jepchirchir broke her own women's world record at the World Athletics Half Marathon Championships in Poland over the weekend, while Ugandan teenager Jacob Kiplimo set a championship record in the men's race. The energetic Andy Edwards looks back on the action.
No sport has been left untouched by the global pandemic. But here were some of the best distance runners in the world, supported by highly efficient organizing by the international governing body, World Athletics, putting on a thrilling show. The first of the two races in Gdynia on Poland's Baltic coast was the women's event, and what high-quality running it produced. Perez Chepchirchir regained the world half-marathon title she won 4 years ago, and the Kenyan broke her own world record for a women's-only race. Unlike the later men's race, the early pace was fast, forced by Kenya's Jocelyn Chepkoskei, winner of last year's New York City Marathon. A key incident came at 9 kilometres, as the defending champion, Nesenet Gudeta of Ethiopia, slipped at a sharp turn along the seafront. Although she recovered, she had lost time on the leaders. With just over 3 kilometres remaining, another fall occurred, this time involving Chepkoskei and the Ethiopian Ababel Yeshene. Both fell heavily and were out of contention. That left a trio to contest the women's medals, with Perez Chepchirchir leading from Ethiopia's Yalamzef Yahualor and Germany's Melat Kajeta. The road surface was proving tricky, as Yahualor slipped and Kajeta of Germany overtook her. But no one could deny Perez Chepchirchir the victory and the world record with 65.18, an improvement of 16 seconds on her own world best. Nonetheless, Ethiopia won the women's team gold from Kenya with Germany third. It was understandable to imagine Joshua Cheptegei dominating the men's field, given the Ugandan's magnificent season in breaking the 5 and 10,000 metre track records. Well, though he ran, Cheptegei finished fourth on his half-marathon debut, timed at a very good 59.21. Uganda had a champion, however, as his teammate and training partner, the 19-year-old Jacob Kiplimo, stayed in pursuit after the Kenyan Kibiwot Kandi broke the lead pack. With 50 minutes of running on the clock, Kiplimo moved clear to win in a championship and Ugandan record of 58.49. Kibiwot finished 19 seconds behind, and third place went to the Ethiopian Amadewo Kwalalien in a personal best of 59.08. Kenya won a tight team race from Ethiopia, and Uganda, for the first time, had a team bronze. What's more, their individual winner, Jacob Kiplimo, celebrated both team and his own success as the first ever Ugandan medalist at this event.
We feel very great, you know, we have been working with the team. We are great, we are very happy, we are very happy. It was an amazing race today, but I'm up for an MIPP on the championship record. The course was real and it was good. I enjoyed it. The course was good.
The World Half Marathon Championships were shown live to a global television and online audience, maintaining the profile of athletics in difficult times. The president of World Athletics, Sebastian Coe, who knows as much as anyone about preparation and performance at top level as a double Olympic champion at 1500 metres, paid tribute to the athletes involved and those who have competed this season.
For somebody to be challenging at the end of that type of season with all the challenges that they've had to confront and be in the running to take home a world championship crown in the same year, it is really an extraordinary testimony to the fortitude and the creativity and the sheer forbearance and strength of character that our athletes have shown this year, bearing in mind that many of them were in lockdown conditions throughout most of the summer, They kept in shape both physically and mentally, and they have shown the type of qualities that we know our sport has shown for over 100 years.
As for how athletics, road racing and track and field might look in the coming year, it's hard to make predictions. What we do know is that the champions in Poland, Perez Chepchechia and Jacob Kiplimo, have the strength of character as well as sporting ability to adapt and excel. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at the weekend European club football action. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Everton came from behind twice to maintain the unbeaten start to the Premier League in a Merseyside derby thriller, as Liverpool were denied a stoppage time winner by the video assistant referee. Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane's early goal was cancelled out by Michael Keane's header in the first half, as Virgil van Dijk and Seamus Coleman both came off injured. Both teams had chances in the second half, as Egyptian talisman Mo Salah whipped home a clinical finish for his 100th Liverpool goal. But Dominic Calvert-Lewin made it 2-2 with a textbook header later on to secure a draw, which keeps Everton unbeaten this season and also keeps them above their bitter rivals. Timo Werner had 2 goals and an assist to Kai Havertz, but Chelsea's dreadful defending helped Southampton earn a 3-3 draw at Stamford Bridge on Saturday. It was a helter-skelter affair that saw delightful attacking and dreadful mistakes from Frank Lampard's Blues, who drew a 3-3 match for the second time this season after coming back from 3-0 down against West Brom. Raheem Sterling scored the match winner as Manchester City climbed into the top half of the Premier League table thanks to a 1-0 win over Arsenal at the Etihad Stadium, while Tottenham Hotspur blew a 3-goal lead in an unbelievable fashion as Manuel Lanzini's goal of the season candidate at the very death led West Ham to a 3-0 draw at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The rocket goal ruined Gareth Bale's return and an otherworldly first half from Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son went wild in the first half before Lanzini, Fabian Valbuena and Davinson Sanchez's own goal gave West Ham a remarkable point. Tottenham now has 8 points from 5 games and sit in 6th place as it chases a return to the Champions League with a top-4 finish. West Ham is a point further back. Manchester United scored 3 late goals at Newcastle to earn a 4-1 victory thanks to Harry Maguire equaliser, Bruno Fernandes' thumping finish, British footballer of DR Congolese descent Aaron Bissaka's first goal for the club, and a late Rashford goal, which ensured United earned their 2nd win of the season. The Red Devils will next face Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League on Tuesday, and will then host Chelsea at home next Saturday. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice as depleted Paris Saint-Germain cruised to a 4-0 victory at 10-man Nimes. Mbappe opened the scoring in the first half and added his 4th goal in as many French league games later on after Alessandro Florenzi nodded in the second, with Pablo Sarabia rounding out the scoring in the closing stages. Lille is top of the French league, undefeated and with the fewest goals conceded, after Burak Yılmaz, French footballer of Ivorian descent Jonathan Bamba, his fellow countrymen of DR Congolese descent Jonathan Ikone and Yusufu Yazishi recorded their names on the scoresheet to fire them to a 4-0 victory against Lens and move them 2 points above the defending champions. Former Arsenal captain's Patrick Vieira's niece moved up to 4th place following a convincing 3-1 win at Saint-Etienne, which has dropped down to mid-table after a positive start to the season. Dutch international of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay also showed Barcelona just what it's missing by setting up all of Lyon's goal in a 3-2 win at struggling Strasbourg. Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored a brace to give AC Milan a 2-1 victory against Inter Milan on Saturday. This was the 39-year-old's first game since testing positive for COVID-19. Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku scored the lone goal for Inter to give them hope and push for a comeback. But Milan's defense stopped every attempt. Juventus winger Federico Chiesa was sent off on his debut. And the Serie A champions also had a goal disallowed by VAR for offside by the tiniest of margins as they were held to a 1-1 draw at promoted Crotone on Saturday. And in Spain, Anthony Lozano scored the sole goal as Real Madrid lost their first La Liga game since March as they were beaten 1-0 by newly promoted Cadiz at the Alfredo Di Stefano Stadium. Getafe forward Aimi Mata also sent Barca goalkeeper Neto the wrong way from the penalty spot to score the only goal, as Barcelona fell to their first defeat in La Liga under new coach Ronald Koeman as they lost 1-0 at Getafe. Atletico Madrid also returned to winning ways, Luis Suarez's 150th La Liga goal and Yannick Carrasco's stoppage time header handed them a 2-0 win over Celta Vigo. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. Zambia's national football team, Chipolo Polo, is coming off a 2-1 victory against Bafana Bafana of South Africa in a friendly match played at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium near Rustenburg, South Africa. Bafana Bafana also drew 1-1 with the Brave Warriors of Namibia in another friendly played at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium. For reaction to the performances by Bafana Bafana, Iron Mike Mbonye called Johannesburg, where he reached African football analyst Clyde Tu.
Bafana Bafana played Namibia and Zambia. I think these are regional rivals that we know very well. And Bafana have never lost to Namibia. And they continued with the trend, playing to a draw in that game. But I think post-COVID, it's a bit unfair to judge as to where the team is. I think it was more about dusting the cobwebs and get the team ready for the qualifiers. Well, against Zambia, it's that game that you don't want to lose. It's like Bafana when they play Nigeria, we can't accept a loss. So I think the fans are not pleased with the team losing to Zambia the way they did. After all, I think preparation games, as a coach, you go into every game with an objective. And I don't think going to this friendly result would have been an objective. It's a nice to have, but in a build-up to a qualifier, what's more important is to win the qualifier than win a friendly game.
Bafana Bafana will play Sao Tome and Principe in November in an AFCON qualifying match. What are expectations of South Africans?
When Bafana plays Sao Tome, I think having lost their last friendly match, the expectation will be low, which I hope it doesn't really affect the team negatively. But them having lower expectations from fans, it should then release the pressure off them to play better. And I'm expecting them to come out guns blazing. And just to note that most of the players that played in the friendlies, some of them are not even regulars. There's a player like Bongani Zungu's, who just signed for Rangers, who was one of the stars in midfield. You'll remember him, he scored a very important goal at AFCON, and he has the right height, right physique. So players like Dean Furman, who's also playing in the English First Division, and he's doing very well there. And there's quite a number of senior players that were left out. Just to have a look at the other upcoming young players like the Mukwenas and the Sipombules. So it will be interesting to see how the coach then blends players from the friendlies with their seniors. And I think one of the players that stood out from the friendlies is Luther Singh, and he's been consistent from the as early as under 17 all the way to the senior team now. So I'm expecting him to be playing in that all-important qualifier.
What's your assessment of Coach Molefe since he took over as Bafana Bafana coach?
My honest assessment of the coach, if you ask me, I feel like we rushed him into the role of being the national team coach. Someone will say, but it's about opportunity in life. Well, you look at it, Pizzo, he has gone on to become one of the greatest coaches in the continent. He also keeps saying that he feels like he got the Bafana job too early before he had the right experience. I feel that's the situation with Molefe. But with that said, I don't think it would be ideal to sack him or just to remove him from the role at the moment. And now I think it's about bringing in experienced heads to support him. If you look at his technical team, none of them have coached at the highest level. You have Arthur Zwane, who was an assistant in the multi-choice, who was a head coach of the Kaizer Chiefs reserves. And you have Kwanele Kopo, who was also the head coach of the SuperSport United reserves. And Molefe himself was a head coach of the national under-17 and assisted in all the national teams in the country, all the way from the women up to the senior men. So I think when you look at it in terms of experience at that level, you need people that have been there and done it more than once, twice or something. So I think when you look at it, the team is there, but the bench, I don't feel like they are experienced enough to compete at the level. Maybe there is a need to bring in a few grey heads to support the staff for them to deliver the best results that they can ever do.
Are there some interesting South African players in Europe who need to be added to the Bafana Bafana team to strengthen the team ahead of the qualifiers or for future games?
The players that missed the qualifiers and that I think should be included in the squad, most importantly, it has to be Bongani Zungu. There's also Lebo Mutiba. I think he gives Bafana that point of reference up front. People don't like him much because he's not one of the skillful players, but I think he's very effective. He knows how to control the ball, chest, shield it defenders and have players play off him. Now, you come back to Bongani Zungu. This is a player that was scouted by one of the best midfielders the world has watched, Steven Gerrard. You know, he's as coach of Rangers in Scotland, and he went on to scout a player in a role similar to what he played. So it tells you about the quality that Bongani Zungu has, and I won't be surprised if from Rangers he goes on to move on to other bigger leagues. And I think he's a very important player for Bafana, and we need him going to the qualifiers.
That's African football analyst Clyde Too. And Clyde spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Clyde Too, an African football analyst. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, Samson Omale will tell us about two Egyptian football clubs scoring victories in the CAF Champions League semifinals.
Ashraf Benchaki headed home in the first half as a disciplined Zamalek side snatched a 1-0 victory over Raja Casablanca to close in on the African Champions League final on Sunday, following in the footsteps of Cairo rivals Al Ahly. On Saturday, record 8-time winners Al Ahly defeated Raja's rival Wydad Casablanca 2-0 at the same Mohamed V Stadium, with the Egyptian duo now looking overwhelmingly favorites to reach the final of the African's Blue Rebound Club competition. The second legs will take place next weekend at the Cairo's International Stadium. Staying with football news, Nick Mwenwenwa will serve the Football Kenya Federation as the president for a new four-year term after unanimously being voted in during the elective special general meeting held at the Safari Park Hotel in Nairobi on Saturday. Nick Mwenwenwa garnered 77 votes, beating closest competitor Ludwig Aduda, who managed 5 votes while Herbert Mochiro only had 3. Boniface Osano and Dan Mule did not get any vote. The elections had been cancelled twice before by the Sports Dispute Tribunal, but were finally given the clear on Friday after Tribunal boss John Ohanga threw out a petition by Sam Nyawewa and 7 others. In rugby news, World Cup holders South Africa have withdrawn from the rugby championships in Australia, leaving Argentina, Australia and New Zealand to contest a tournament much diminished by their absence. The South Africans cited player welfare concerns because of the delayed start to their domestic competition and uncertainty over government travel restrictions during the COVID-19 pandemic affecting players based in South Africa, Europe and Japan. It means the competition in Australia from October the 31st will be reduced from 12 games to 6, involving only Australia, New Zealand, and Argentina. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. This is Branson Weir, the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the Major League Baseball beat, the Los Angeles Dodgers will take on the Tampa Bay Rays Tuesday night in the opening game of the World Series. The Dodgers scored a dramatic victory Sunday against the Atlanta Braves to win the National League Championship Series 4-3. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Cody Bellinger hit a mammoth tie-breaking home run in the 7th inning, sending the Dodgers to the World Series with a 4-3 win over the Braves. LA came back from 2-0 and 3-2 deficits, evening the score on a pinch homer in the 6th by Kike Hernandez.
You always dream about 3-2, bases loaded, and this and that, and it's game 7, and you know, you try to do whatever you can to help the team win, and I was able to do that tonight.
Julio Urias got the final 9 outs for the win. LA once trailed the series 3-1 before winning 3 straight elimination games. I'm Mark Myers.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Juma. In pro boxing, American Teofimo Lopez upset the Ukrainian Vasyl Lomachenko over the weekend to unify the lightweight division. Lopez scored a unanimous decision. The judges ringside had it 119-109, 117-113, and 116-112 in favor of the 23-year-old Lopez. The two men fought in a nearly empty arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, amid the coronavirus pandemic. In winning, Lopez became the first boxer in the four-belt era to unify at 135 pounds. He retained his International Boxing Federation title, and he took Lomachenko's WBA, WBO, and WBC title belts. Teofimo Lopez is trained by his father, and the senior Lopez said after his son's victory, and I quote, "My son was the better man. We did something that everybody thought we couldn't do. We outboxed Lomachenko. We gave him a clinic." Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, says it was a huge victory for Lopez, and it could vault him into becoming one of the biggest stars in boxing. And we'll have more hard-hitting commentary from Nnamdi. And that wraps up the October 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.